Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Chad Benson as my special expert guest. Chad Benson is the president and owner of ARC Performance Training Systems, located in Surrey, British Columbia. Chad received his formal education at the University of Victoria and Memorial University of Newfoundland. In addition to his consulting role for B210, Coach Benson has been subcontracted as a conditioning coach for Pacific Sport, the Vancouver Canucks, the BC Lions, the Vancouver Ravens, and the BC Amateur Hockey Association. Chad has a competitive multi-sport athletic background and has conditioned athletes in 11 collegiate, pro, and Olympic sports. In addition to his athletic conditioning experience, Chad has a unique blend of professional expertise in myofascial release, trigger point therapy, functional movement testing, and back-to-play rehabilitation. Chad continues to be a sport conditioning author and lecturer for such organizations as the AOSSM, BCRPA, CATA, CFP, CSEP, Fit Rendezvous, Idea InfoFit, and the NSCA. Chad's most recent endeavors include the development and release of the Activated and Prepare to Perform educational series. Good morning, Chad. Welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
It's my pleasure, Corey. I really appreciate this opportunity to share with your listeners.
And I do as well. First, Chad, let's talk about your business. What is ARC Performance Training Systems, and tell us about the services you provide?
Corey, well, you know, the best way to kind of describe ARC is it would be a three-division incorporated company that specializes, as you've mentioned, in athletic performance and functional training, and has an education division as well. So we have a training division that's divided into adult recreational and elite athlete type training, as well as educational foundation, and that's pretty much the three heads of the company. And what we really put our focus in on is athletic development and anything related to functional performance.
What is your background, Chad? How did you get to the point where you eventually created your own business? Please tell us about that.
Well, interestingly, I did my diligence. I spent a lot of time in university studying, mentoring under some of the best strength and conditioning coaches I would think in sports in North America and beyond. From that point in time, I then began to mentor under Peter Twist, who was with the Vancouver Canucks and had some, you know, great formal opportunities in the workforce. And I felt that my experience had taken me far along, and it was time to kind of put my own spin and begin activating my clients in a way that I thought was kind of unique. So I felt it was time for me to do it my way and then not kind of be kept under the philosophy of someone else. So I felt it was time for that opportunity to grow and have my own opportunity to grow as a business person as well. I think in the last few years, my business acumen has improved more than my practitioner acumen.
So for someone looking at what you've done, and they're maybe training right now, and they're thinking about moving in the direction that you've done, what is some of the advice you have for someone that wants to go into their own business?
I think it's essential that you have the opportunity to take away practical experience, because I think in a formal scholastic setting, we're not taught everything we need to know, both educationally and certainly practically speaking. So therefore, you know, even with some of the workforce opportunities that you're given in cooperative type school programs, I believe it's super important that you have the opportunity to actually mentor under somebody else. So going out into the workforce and looking at different business structures and different practical structures and learning from people that have had, you know, experience in both are essential for you to take that next step. So I personally spent some time in the gym industry where I learned the ins and outs of the fitness industry and how to run a larger business. Then I began to amalgamate myself with databases, and I think the importance of putting yourself down into someone else's database gives you a massive exposure that you can't often get on your own, especially if you're not hardwired to be a used car salesman type person. So I believe it's essential to have those opportunities. So A, attaching yourself to a database, and B, having someone to be able to mentor under, I think are experiences you can't get out of a textbook.
Absolutely, I agree, and that's well said. Now, you focus on education, and that's great. So do I, and that's where it's at for me. So what are some of the most important principles that you teach in terms of education?
You know, it's interesting. I would say that they're not just educational principles or philosophies. They're, you know, and they guide me personally, and I believe they're kind of passion diligence and practice, and they basically underlie everything that I do. And beyond those three things, which I think everybody should have, and if you don't have a passion for what you're doing, you should also look at other areas of study and practice. And then I think if you're not diligent in your follow-up and your study and your own personal pursuits and practice regularly, I think you're really kind of missing the boat and you're not in the industry that you should be in, and should probably look past that. So once we've established that, I think if I bring that to the forefront each and every time that I'm working with an individual or speaking to a group, I believe that I have an opportunity to influence them far more. And I believe you're very similar, and I feel that that's where we're closely connected in terms of how we speak and pass on our message. And I would say professionally, my focus is generally on qualitative evaluation versus quantitative number counting, so and exercise correction. So I'd be looking more at how someone performs a type of exercise and the way that they execute, and how they are actually trying to master technique over actually counting the number of reps and sets and really getting into quantifiable numbers. While I do believe it's important, I think that the next step and a higher level of trainer capability comes from the ability to be able to successfully adapt at all times.
Now, you and I both have a strong competitive sport background. I played sports all my life. I love sports. I sort of found myself in it. What are some of your favorite sports?
I would say that my favorite sports come as a result of, you know, my brother and the super high internal fire to be able to basically beat him at all costs, to be perfectly honest. And as a result, I basically took on the sports that he would play with his friends. And he's 8 years my senior, so it was often an opportunity to try and catch up, and I found that competitive fire came from that. So the sports that I tended to play were hockey, softball, tennis, volleyball, which were all the sports that my brother played as a kid. So that's pretty much it. And those are the ones I really like. And I really like team sport environments. So I have played some rugby, and I have played some other team sports and basketball and things like that, because I really love the camaraderie and the competition that comes from that type of terrestrial head-on-head, mono-a-mono sport competition.
So you're working with a lot of athletes that are playing a wide variety of sport. And, of course, those athletes are training. They're getting fit for their sport, and they're developing expertise with skill training. What are some of the, I guess, strong motivational facts associated with these athletes? How do you charge them up when you're actually training with an athlete who's engaged in a sport, and they love their sport, and they want to get better at their sport? How do you connect the dots in terms of doing what you want them to do and how that is going to enhance their ability to succeed in their sport?
Well, you know, Corey, and I think you're very similar in terms of your philosophy on this, is that I think of myself, not arrogantly, but I think of myself as a show pony, in the sense that I will do absolutely everything that I expect of my athletes. As I get older, that becomes a little bit more challenging, but I still try and beat back Father Time, and my workouts are very motivating. They're very intense. I believe I bring that intensity and that passion to each and every training session. So with the athletes, you'd like to think that they have that inherent fire in them, but I do believe that, you know, it is infectious, and with time spent around people, that they begin to pick up some of those habits, and some of that intensity and that fire will come out of individuals. And as a result, I personally believe that it's going to help them be successful in pretty much, you know, every possible way, including just the training and the conditioning, but also in the sport, which the sports that I tend to work with people on require a little bit of, I would say, intensity at any given time. So I believe that's where it comes from, and I think that's the biggest kind of lesson I can pass along and certainly hope to be able to push along to the athletes I train.
Now, you're a specialist, and you've got a lot of skills in different areas of therapy. Let's talk about myofascial release and trigger point therapy. Tell us about these techniques and how they can be of benefit to your students and athletes and clients.
Well, Corey, it's interesting. I mean, I think I kind of came across these techniques haphazardly and as a result of a need. And I think, you know, as they say, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention. I believe in this case for myself, you know, as I work with athletes and as we train intensely and as we push the envelope further and further athletically, we're also going to create more damage, structural damage to the muscles. Right? We have to examine every possible recovery technique to be able to help them achieve faster recovery naturally, in addition to, you know, nutrition, which I'm sure we're going to talk about shortly. And so if you really want to think about what myofascial release is and trigger point therapy, is that you could kind of think of it like this. Myo means muscle, and fascia is a layer that sits over top of the muscle, but intermingles through bones, tendons, ligaments that connect the entire body, almost like a fascial bag. And I think the best analogy for it would really be that the myofascia is this tissue that surrounds almost like a woman's nylons would surround their legs. It's a really tightly knitted, it's stuck in there, and a trigger point, if you could think of it, even though perceptually wouldn't have the same visual look, it would be like a run in a woman's nylon. And it has the ability to be able to affect the entire fascial bag. So as a result of having a trigger point, which could be a small area or a small run, or it ends up becoming a larger problem to the muscle because it actually interferes with the communication network that occurs throughout the body. So as a result of seeing these type of, with hard work, when you go in and structurally tear down a muscle and do damage to it, which is necessary for it to prepare properly, if sometimes the myofascia reconnecting doesn't lay down properly, and you get these little trigger points, which would basically be a run in the fibers. And as a result, what ends up happening is that the muscles don't fire properly, and they don't work properly, and they don't stretch and release properly. So the release portion of the myofascial release means that the ability to be able to release tension, just like stretching would do, you get special techniques that are used at the myofascial level to massage. So you can use, massage therapists, and you can also, use self-applied tools. Like, I personally have a street hockey ball with me in my bag as I travel to Cabo. And I also will often carry a tennis ball or use foam rollers at facilities. And the whole purpose is to make sure that we take these runs out of the muscle in order to make them function properly, in order for them to be able to shorten and contract, as well as lengthen and stretch over the course of our workouts and recovery.
Okay, let's get into nutrition, Chad. Let's talk about that now. And looking back at when you were maybe 14 and the knowledge you had then of nutrition and what you picked up from your parents, from society, from your coaches, from your teachers, and now comparing that to what you know now, tell us about the differences.
Oh, Corey, that's such an interesting question, because you just, as you were asking me the question, I thought to myself, I remembered one of my first weight gaining tools and opportunities. And as a kid, when I was 14, 15, 16, I began to work out at quite a young age. I saw the benefits of it there. Nutritionally speaking, I had no idea. Now, the one good thing coming from small town Newfoundland as I did is that we're still a hunter-gatherer society. So many of the foods that I would eat that were constantly available to us were things that my dad had actually caught in the wilderness. So everything would have been free range, would have been organic, would have been freshly cut and taken care of and cured and put into good use over the course of a year. So it was amazing. I think my personal nutrition would have been very much off the land growing up. But as I remember getting older and more into my teen years, I remember a lot of simple sugars. I remember cookies and Oreo bars and my dad working long hours and bringing home McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and things like that. And me personally, because of my activity levels, were able to metabolize all that food. So I ate it almost religiously. And in fact, at one point in time, I had my dad bring home 30 Big Macs from McDonald's so I could eat one a day to assure myself 1,100 additional calories every day in order to build muscle. And that was as intelligent of a decision as I could make nutritionally at that time. To current day, when I have great people like yourself to be able to study from, and people like Paul Check and some other practitioners who I highly believe and invest time into, and have read a lot of the materials, and now look at things like pH balance and alkalinity of the blood, and you look into individualized nutrition as opposed to just pounding food and calories into your body. So I think I personally have evolved far, far away from just the calorie concept and the macronutrient concept into a lot more micronutrient, organic, free living, getting back to what I think, my upbringing originally was.
That's amazing. And it's marvelous that you had that background to compare how other people eat. Now, when you're working with athletes, and you've been doing this long enough and you've got a lot of experience now, what are some of the most common mistakes that these people are making when it comes to nutrition?
That's an interesting question, because I really think that athletes are as inept as you could possibly imagine. And I kind of bring it back to myself. It's kind of like the last area of study. As an athlete, you are told to develop your skills, and you do so. You are told that you need to get bigger, stronger, faster, and they often do so. You're told that you even need a mental edge, and they will often even take on opportunities to learn about goals and outcomes and certain types of motivations in order to be able to do that. And they are told nutritionally that you need to do X, Y, and Z in order to be able to perform before, during, and after their exercise session. And some athletes do a reasonable job in there to take care of that small window, which is surrounds that training opportunity and the game set. But after that, it is absolutely ridiculous. And even then, I would say that's probably 30% of most athletes. And so the mistakes that I often see are, one, they're not educated. Two, they eat far too much refined sugar, and we're into that, I would say, caffeine junkie generation now, where it's, you know, caffeinate yourself at all costs, and often with heavily loaded sugar-based drinks to go along with that. So not to pick on any particular company, but I think that, those two things, plus possibly, I think, spending a lot of time when, you know, just thinking grocery shopping, why spending too much time in the aisles and not enough time on the periphery, spending into the meat and vegetable section. And I think you pretty much have summed it all up in terms of what the mistakes that I see on an ongoing basis.
Tell us about your own dietary supplement program. What are some of the highlights of your own vitamin program?
When I fully was a competitive athlete, I spent a lot of time taking in a lot of additional micronutrients and macronutrients. So, and now today, my philosophy has simplified a lot, and I really think kind of the pyramid approach that I know that you take as well when it comes to supplementation. So the biggest portion of my supplementation comes from the basic concept of making sure that we're getting the essential macronutrients first, and that the timing of the supplementation is more important than the amount of supplementation. So I spend a lot of time educating people on the need to take in a certain amount of protein prior to, smaller amounts during, and then after the workout. So I do spend time on whey protein type supplementation. I certainly spend time on fatty acid regulation and the opportunity there as a energy burning source, and, you know, certainly metabolically active substrate that they can use during their exercise routine. So we, you know, we go into essential oils and we discuss fatty acid, you know, type opportunities and where they can get that naturally in the food. I really take a holistic approach. So instead of forcing guys to take supplements, I say to them, I said, look, this is the food that you can get a lot of this type of nutrients from. And if that's not going to work for you, and that you don't think you can do that in a timely manner surrounding your training sessions and your workouts and your recovery, then here are your opportunities. And I'll often spend time on, you know, just the basic multivitamin concept, meaning that, you know, this is kind of like a protective mechanism, meaning if you eat well, you should be able to cover off most of these things. But here's the reality of it. Some of the micronutrients you're going to need, particularly living in a northern climate where my athletes are, for example, I almost recommend vitamin D to just about everybody who is an athlete living in a northern, in the northwest climate where it's quite cloud-covered most of the winter from November all the way through to March, April, and looking at some of the research associated with vitamin D. Vitamin D is often recommended on my behalf. Whey protein supplements almost guarantee some type of carbohydrate substance to be able to use before, during, and after that. It has a combination of fast regulating and slow regulation, regulating carbohydrates so that they can monitor their blood glucose level during their workouts, et cetera, and their games. So it can get very complex, and oftentimes it's very simple because I'll usually just recommend that you get many of the nutrients through food.
Now, Chad, you're one of four special guest speakers speaking at CHI Camp Hawaii this April in Honolulu, and we're honored to have you. We're really looking forward to the time that we're going to spend together. You know, we've got all kinds of outdoor activities planned and some hikes to the falls and Diamond Head, and we're going to get out there and really get fit and focused. But in the lecture facility that we have, you're going to be presenting. So tell us about the title of your lecture and some of the topics you're going to hit.
I think I'm more excited about the conference than many of the delegates are going to be. I personally am looking for the opportunity to come down there and spend 5 days, you know, basically immersing myself into as much nerdy information as I could possibly take on over the course of the 5 days, as well as share those, that passion I've talked about earlier with everybody that's there. And, you know, my personal passion when it comes to lecturing, education, athletically training, and my, you know, the direction of kind of taken me or brought me down the path I've gone as a result of seeing so many athletes get injured, as a result of us trying to push the envelope as far as we have, is the title of the lecture comes down to what I call prepare to periodize. And it's that model that I've developed, which is called prepare to perform. And that model is being used now by 20 of the top Canadian athletes going into 2010 that are potential podium athletes. So, and it's a model that I fully believe in. The concepts behind it are really kind of simple, is that I believe in order to be able to become bigger, stronger, faster, and push that envelope that we want to be able to push to be successful competitively, that we need to spend a little bit more time preparing the body to take on these type of loads and the type of intensity and learn how to recover it much more efficiently naturally. So what the topics will cover basically will be the ability to be able to look at an individual's movement patterns and determine from those movement patterns, a real simple set of movement patterns, to what the mechanical breakdowns are in the body and how the type of exercise and sport that they're playing will negatively impact the execution of their heavy strength training, their conditioning, their on-court skills, their on-ice skills, their, you know, on-field skills, etc. So as a result, I mean, a lot of what we're going to focus on is going to be, A, looking at an individual for the posture, to check to see what the posture looks like, B, determine how a postural deficit can have an impact on movement, C, look at the mechanical breakdown associated with those movements, and then D, the correction of those mechanical breakdowns. So it's going to be a complete overhaul mentally about how we train people. So instead of just taking people and beating them up and giving them incredibly intense exercise programs, we're going to look at how we can set somebody up to be able to actually achieve higher levels using the type of exercise techniques that we've learned through the methods of periodization, through, you know, the Vershanskys of Russia and the Tudor Bompas of Canada and the Istvan Balis, who have all done an awesome job of educating trainers in the last 15 to 20 years about periodized training techniques. And I think we need to now kind of back off a little bit from that and figure out how we can actually let people come out of that process successful and not more set up for injury. Because what I see oftentimes at the end of an off-season training program for an athlete is an athlete who's a walking time bomb, who's just ticking away, waiting for that injury to occur because of the type of load that we put on the body without having structurally created integrity in there first.
That was fantastic. Can't wait. Now, speaking of bigger, faster, stronger, did you actually see that documentary?
I have not.
Oh, well, you've got to see it, man. But really, the message from that documentary is that if you don't cheat and take the steroids, you'll never win. And they were relating that to business. And, of course, this is in America, in relationship, in anything. If you don't cheat, you'll never win, because that's what it takes to win. Now, speaking in terms of philosophy, we just watched the Super Bowl. And, of course, you know the way it is in football. I played football up to college, and it was about winning. That's all that mattered, was winning at any expense. And, of course, we've got the Olympics now in Vancouver, and there's a lot of people coming to win. And they'll even ruin themselves just to win. So what is it about winning in sport? And do you think that sport has taken a nosedive, or do you think that it's moving forward and upward into a level that little kids can look at and see, yeah, that's what I want to do? Or do you think it represents something about our society or life? And what is your take on this whole thing?
My philosophy on sport is that, you know, I personally hated to lose. And I don't know if I was hardwired that way through coaching or if I was just hardwired that way through my parents. And, you know, as a result, I'm probably one of those people that you talk about. I mean, and I saw how it impacted me growing up through my teenage years. Not one athlete on my team ever liked me because I was so deeply intent and so focused on winning at all costs that I would say slander many of my fellow athletes. And I, you know, certainly didn't win any congeniality awards during my time. So, and I think in the last 10 to 15 years, we're beginning to teach our athletes more than just winning. And I think we've looked at the competitive process a little bit stronger. And in sports psychology, we talk about what's called task versus ego orientation. And I think we've now kind of looked at that. Instead of scoring a goal and focusing on the actual outcome of that and that ego boost that you would get from actually scoring that goal or bench pressing the 350-pound benchmark that you want to have, we've now looked at how we execute the bench press, how we actually fundamentally executed our skill set in order to be able to achieve the outcome that is desired. And I think the more that we educate people about that type of process and get focused not on the outcome but on the task and how it's delivered and how it's executed, there are positive outcomes there because you can constantly control how you execute your personal skill in a team environment, obviously, can sometimes be challenged due to contact and all kinds of other things that are outside your control. But the thing that I find empowering for people, the thing that is a positive, gives them positive feedback at all times, is that I can learn a skill, I can execute the skill, and I can execute it well, can always be positively influenced. Whereas if you focus on the skill's goal is to achieve the puck in the net or the ball in the net or the, you know, the win the point, et cetera, type thing, then you get focused on what the outcome is, and the outcome often isn't the desired outcome. So therefore, you get yourself caught up into a very negative, vicious cycle that you really can't fix. And while it may be rewarding, almost like going to Vegas and pulling out a slot machine and make you come back for more, ultimately, I don't think it has a positive impact on your life structure once you're done competitive sport. Because as you and I both know, while we can be competitive through our 40s, 50s, and 60s, the degree of competition is different and our focus changes. So I think as adults, we need to continue to pass on that message to our athletes and create a generation of people that are lifetime athletes and not just, you know, teenage high school athletes.
Right on, man. Yeah, we're on the same page. I've actually tried to find in the rule books of all the sports, and I've looked at about 60, and I could not find in any rule book of any sport that the object of the sport was to win. The object of the sport was to play the game, and here's the rules, and it was all about skill training and enjoyment. So, right on. I love it. Okay, we've got time for a couple more things. Number one, let's get to your website. Tell us the address of your website and what people will find there.
Corey, my website is designed for one specific purpose, and it is to educate and is to give good information to people. And so right from the start when I developed the website, I realized as a trainer that my personal database and network is not nationwide, it's not worldwide. And what the web is, it's the World Wide Web. And so the opportunity to be able to actually put out good education and begin the process of being able to help more people has been a real passion of mine. So knowing that I can't necessarily do that by myself, the website was designed specifically to put a lot of good information. While it's a business and marketing tool to some degree, the focus really is on giving people free material. And I you know, as a business person, I probably suck that way because I do give a lot of information on the website and I constantly give it away for free, which again, as a business person, is probably not the smartest thing for me to ever do. But I realize that many of the people that I'm giving it to for free would never be able to become educated by me unless I take that process. And one day I may convert it into something that's a little bit more business oriented, but right now my focus is really on trying to have an impact in the people's lives that I'm able to actually touch at the moment. So the website's set up to educate people. You'll find a lot of free training programs on there. I've recently began using YouTube, and so there are some video. In fact, there's a new upgrade on my website that has a free video download available to everybody. So the video is right there on the front page for people to go and have a look at. And there's links to Facebook and YouTube where I put additional information for people to grab for free. And just to try and move down that process to help young athletes and to help trainers and fitness consumers to take their knowledge to another level.
So that's arctraining.ca, 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 very good. Chad, our time is gone. Thanks very much for a wonderful interview, for your insight. For those that are listening, if you want more information about Chad, you can go to coreyhawley.com and click the camp webpage. You can go to Chad's website, and he's got information there. He's got his bio and some more information about his business and then his student and clientele, etc. Chad, how about a final parting comment that will help motivate everyone listening today, something that will get them charged up and fired up to get out there and get well?
Now, Corey, I'm going to use this as a plug for you, because I think really what I want to be able to tell people is that we have a great conference that is going to occur, an awesome camp that you've put together in April, and for me the most important thing would be to get as many great people together and as many like-minded individuals as possible, and I would really love to see as many people as possible. So I'm going to take this moment to say I would love to see you guys in April, and and I'm really excited, looking forward to it. So hopefully we'll all get together and connect in April, and we can share our passions and philosophies there.
Fantastic. Chad Benson is the president and owner of ARC Performance Training Systems in Canada. He is a terrific coach and a dynamic speaker and a guy that really walks the walk and talks the talk. So, Chad, we look forward to seeing you, and you take care now.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate this time.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be all right. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.